Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, February the 8th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, the president's speech, the State of the Union address, happened on Tuesday night, and I want to talk a little bit about it, but there's one word that I think really applies to the entire speech, and that is the word partisan, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, because, you know, when you're the president of the United States, you are required by the Constitution to present a State of the Union. Now, it doesn't have to be on TV. That obviously is a more recent phenomenon because of the media of television. For a long time, I think even 100 years ago, the president would simply send something in writing to the Congress. They just write up a memo and send it to the Congress and say, here's the State of the Union. This is my report on the State of the Union, much the same way that a general manager at a company would write a report, let's say, about the state of the department or the state of the company to the shareholders or to the owners of the company. So that's what the Constitution requires. Of course, with time, and particularly with the advent of television, it's become a more dramatic presentation. But the bottom line is still the same. The bottom line is still the same. This is the president of the United States who's speaking to the country through the Congress. And this is where I say that this was a rather partisan speech. The president of the United States could speak differently to the country. He is speaking to the country as the president. But last night, what we saw was the head of the Democrat Party talking to the nation. What we saw was a president who decided to say a bunch of things in a very partisan nature that I think were divisive. And, you know, I have a post coming out about this on Thursday, and the title of my post is, If You Lie, People Are Going to Scream, because there's been a lot of talk about the reaction of some Republicans to what the president said about Social Security and Medicare. But if you're going to have a president of the United States saying to the nation in a State of the Union address that the Republicans want to cut Medicare and the Republicans want to cut Social Security, then I think the Republicans in that room have every reason to react, have every reason to say, no, we don't, and you know we don't. And this is where, you know, a lot of people are talking about what happened last night when the Republican side of the room reacted and started screaming. And, you know, I don't think they should call him a liar, but that's probably over the top. But a lot of other people were objecting to what President Biden was saying. And this is what I mean about being partisan. If you're going to go in front of the Congress and say that the Republicans want to cut Congress, I mean, the Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare, well, you're going to get a response, and it's not going to be a pretty response, as we saw last night. If you're going to make a comparison or speak about January the 6th and the incident with Nancy Pelosi's husband, and somehow try to draw a connection with that, well, that's not going to go over well with people on the other side of the aisle. If you're going to talk about fentanyl but not talk at all about the fact that the border is open because of your policies, if you're going to talk about energy but not mention that you have, you know, shut down pipelines and have made it very difficult to explore and to look for oil, well, those are partisan statements that he was making, and they're going to get a reaction, and the reaction is going to be negative, just like we saw last night. The president of the United States decided that he wanted to be the leader of the Democrat Party instead of the president of the United States, and that's why I thought the State of the Union was so ineffective, because what came across was a man who wanted to do politics. Now, the president is aware, as I'm sure many of you are, that there are polls and there's polling data of Democrats who don't want him to run. So last night I got the feeling he was actually speaking to those Democrats saying, look, I want to run for reelection. I can do this again. Look at how tough I can be with the Republicans. That's the feeling that I got last night watching this man. But that's not what the country needed. And this is what makes me angry. The country didn't need a political speech last night. The country needed a State of the Union. And it needed a president who was at least honest enough to recognize that some of his policies are responsible for some of the problems that they were having, such as the border problems, such as the energy problems, such as the inflation. Those things just didn't happen. They happened because of executive orders and decisions that were President Joe Biden is responsible for. So a very, very bad night, I thought, for President Biden. And I think he failed in the single biggest test that a president has, and that is to be the president of all the people, not just the ones who voted for him. I mean, look, I'm not being naive. I understand the president is a politician, but I also think at times like this, he has to rise above the politics and present himself as a president. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that last night. Now, there was one good thing about last night's speech. We didn't have to see Nancy Pelosi sitting behind the president anymore. Now we have Speaker McCarthy, and just not having to see Nancy Pelosi was worth, you know, the time invested in the speech. But, you know, on the other hand, Vice President Harris was like, I think they told her that you had to stand up and applaud every so many times, because she was just kept standing and applauding. I mean, after a while, you got the feeling that the whole thing was like robotic after a while. But, you know, I understand that's what the president or the vice president does. But anyway, that's what I can tell you about the speech. I thought it was very partisan, and it was exactly the wrong speech that the country needed at this particular time. Now, I do believe that the speech by Governor Huckabee Sanders of Arkansas was very effective. I think she's obviously a very natural speaker, and she connected very well, I think, with the audience. So she spoke well, and I think she does have a future. Of course, she's a very young woman, just became governor of Arkansas. We wish her the best. And maybe at some point down the road, she could be potential president, but I still think at this point, she's not there yet, but she spoke very well. And I think she focused on a lot of things. And I think my favorite line from her speech, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but my favorite line was when she said that we're no longer debating left and right. We're now debating what is crazy and what is normal. And you know, that is exactly how a lot of people feel. You know, when you watch the Grammys the other night, I didn't watch them, but I saw the clips of some of the crap that was going on in the Grammys, when you see what Disney just did, this cartoon that they put out. I mean, you got to look at all of this and say, my gosh, you know, this is a debate between the crazy and the normal. So I thought she was very effective in her presentation. But overall, I think President Biden was too partisan. And by doing so, I think turned off a lot of the people like me who were willing to at least give him a chance to listen to what he had to say. But he was so partisan that I think he lost a lot of us along the way. There is some very interesting hearings going on in the House today about Twitter and that New York Post story of back in 2020. And some of the members of Twitter, some of the leadership of Twitter was there, and they were answering some questions. I guess the meeting is still going on, but the exchange between Congressman Jordan and one of the executives at Twitter was very interesting, very interesting. I would recommend that you check it out. It's available, I'm sure, on C-SPAN or some of the other favorite sites. But I tell you, you know, it's becoming more and more clear to me that the FBI, through Twitter, got involved in the 2020 election in ways that it had no business doing. And I think that has to be looked at. That has to be looked at. I don't care what Twitter does. It is a private company, and I don't have to participate in Twitter. But when the FBI gets involved, that becomes a national matter. And that's something we got to be very careful with. You don't want to politicize the FBI. That's not the way to go in this country. So check out those hearings. I thought the portion that I saw, just about 3 or 4 minutes of it that I saw with Congressman Jordan, were absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Well, I've got a post over at the American Thinker this morning, Wednesday, talking about Beatlemania. You know, it was, after all, 59 years ago that the Beatles came to the United States. They landed in New York. They went to the Ed Sullivan Show. And I wrote a post saying how I slept through it because we were living in Cuba at the time, and we didn't get any of this. So the entire first year of the Beatles, we missed it because, you know, it was not available to us in Cuba. So while the United States and many other parts of the world were engaged in Beatlemania, we in Cuba were completely disconnected from it, had no idea that it was going on. And in fact, 1964 was the year that we left Cuba. So we were kind of focused on that, you know, getting out of the country and eventually coming to the United States. When I finally got to the United States, that's when I picked up on the Beatles. So all that beginning, Ed Sullivan, I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, all of that, I missed it. And as I say in my article, I slept through the first chapter of Beatlemania because I did. I had no idea what was going on because in Cuba, we did not get any of that. Speaking of the Beatles, on this day in 1958, George Harrison joined the Beatles. He was 15 years old when he joined John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and they formed the band. I guess John and Paul already had the band, and they needed a guitarist, so they brought in George, who was a pretty good guitarist at age 15, and they brought him in, and they had different names until they settled on the Beatles much later. But George became a member of the band that would eventually be known as the Beatles on this day in 1958. And we also remember on this day, Jules Verne. Now, if you remember when you were in school, all those books you used to read about Journey to the Center of the Earth and Captain Nemo and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, all of those books were written by Jules Verne, who was born in France on this day in 1828. He died in 1905. And then, of course, they became movies. All of those books became movies. And I loved the movies. And I love the books. We had to read them in school. I don't know if that was your case, but we had to read those books as part of our, you know, I guess, repertoire or inventory of books we had to read. So we read all those books when we were in school. And then when the movies came out, or maybe the movies came out at the same time, I don't remember. But anyway, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and especially Journey to the Center of the Earth, that movie was absolutely great. And I loved, there was the second version of that movie that came out later. I'm talking about the one that I guess came out in the early 1960s that I saw later in the late 60s. That movie was absolutely great, Journey to the Center of the Earth. Well, thank you very much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. We'll talk to you later. We're getting rain again here in Texas. We've had a lot of crazy weather the last week, but it looks like the rain will stop today and we'll have a little sunshine this afternoon, and tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and thank you for listening.